I'll be answering and reacting to your comments and questions sent to me through TikTok and text messages. Some of these made me pretty mad, so hang on. Welcome to my show, Midwife Talks. I'm Lindy Casey, retired midwife. I discuss anything and everything, but mostly women's health, crunchy stuff, and birth stories. Every day, I'm amazed at how many people reach out to me with questions and comments. Some are confrontational, but most are coming from a place of uncertainty and fear. I understand that. After all, there are just so many myths and triggering stories surrounding not only birth, but women's health in general. Added to that are the prejudices and attitudes of the people who should be supporting you, the care providers. And then there are the people, usually women, who want to share their stories in a safe arena. You're always safe here. The only judgment I have is for unfairness and deception. If you want your voice to be heard, you can send me your story, or you can contact me and we can arrange for you to be a guest on this show. But for today, it's just me answering some questions and responding to your comments. Let's start off with the number one concern of women about labor. Honestly, I hear this one more often than you'd ever guess. What if I poop? I hear this a lot and in lots of different ways. Midwives don't care. Doctors don't care. Nurses don't care. You know, when you're down at the business end of birth and you're staring at somebody's crotch and there's mucus and there's blood and there's amniotic fluid and sometimes there's meconium, which is fetal excrement, you just aren't fazed by anything else going on. Nobody really cares. Plus, it's super, super common to poop when you're giving birth. Now, way back in the day when my mom was having babies, and even when I was having my first baby, a regular sort of ritual that they did was when you got to the hospital, they gave you an enema, and they shaved your pubic hair off. I hope they don't do that any place anymore. They're not supposed to, but they used to. A nurse told me that they called it high, hot, and a hell of a lot. It was really unpleasant. It seems to me that the women who do poop when they're in labor are women who have maybe faster labors. The women who don't poop when they're giving birth, when they're actually pushing the baby out, might have had a little bit longer labor to actually have more bowel movements before they get to that pushing stage. That might just be me making this observation, and it might not have any medical validity to it, but that's what I've noticed. 30 or 40 years ago, when women asked what they should do to prepare for birth, we used to tell them to give themselves an enema when labor started, so there wasn't anything in their rectum. The rectum is the part of the lower bowel that's right inside the anus. It's kind of the holding station for fecal matter. If you do poop while pushing, it's usually just the stuff there in the rectum. It's not like you empty out your entire bowels. It's just the amount that's in that last little bit of intestines because as the baby's head descends, it pushes against everything in your pelvis, and just like you squeeze a tube of toothpaste, stuff's going to come out the end. You squeeze down on all that stuff because it's a very congested area, very busy, lots of stuff going on in that area. And you push this big old baby's head along there, and it's just like pushing on a tube of toothpaste. Anything that's in the rectum is going to come out of the anus. So we would tell women, just get a little disposable enema with just plain water. It doesn't have to have anything else in it at all. And just kind of clear out your rectum. But a lot of women didn't really do that, and it didn't really matter. And I didn't actually notice any difference in how many women had a bowel movement while pushing. But it might help. And if that makes you feel better, by all means, give yourself an enema right at the beginning of your labor. This question is really a hard one to answer. What does giving birth feel like? So a nice person messaged me and said a lot of things, but one of the things she asked was what she wanted to know what giving birth feels like. I think the sensations of labor and birth are as different as each of us are, but there are some things that we can find that are in common. I can tell you what a lot of people, a lot of women over the years, have told me it feels like, and I can tell you what it felt like to me, but your comprehension of the sensations of labor and birth will be unique to your experience in life and how it compares to all the things you've already been through. The strange thing about pain, and actually almost all sensations, is that you actually can't recall the feeling itself. What you remember is how you compared it to another feeling you've had in your life, or how you described it, or how it made you behave. For instance, this is an example of a really horrible thing that happened to me. I went to the dentist to have a cavity filled. The cavity had been just a little divot on the back of one of my lateral incisors. I can't take certain medications for pain, so they had to use another drug that they don't ordinarily use to numb me. I'm not really sure whether that medication takes longer to kick in or kicks in really fast and then doesn't stay around very long, but whatever, there was some timing issue to deal with. After injecting me, the dentist left the room for a few minutes. When he came back in to drill my tooth, very quickly, it was obvious to me that the pain medication had worn off. I had no painkiller at all. I told him and he said, "Oh, it's all right. This will only take a moment." And he drilled into my tooth with no painkiller. He actually ended up drilling into the nerve of my tooth. Maybe he was hurrying because of the fact that I had no painkiller. I don't know. But he drilled right into the nerve and it killed that tooth. That tooth is dead now. So if you watch my TikTok, you'll see I have a gray tooth in front. But to this day, if I'm watching a movie or a TV show and I hear the sound of a dental drill, or I go to the dentist and from the other room I hear the sound of a dental drill in the other room, I get lightheaded and my heart starts to race. I don't remember how that actually felt, having that drill go into my tooth, but I can remember that at the time I thought it felt like I was cold, it felt sharp, it felt intense, it felt electric. So while I don't remember actually the sensation of it, I do remember how I described it at the time, how I reacted, which wasn't really pretty, and how I react now to similar stuff to this day. When you're in labor and you start having contractions, you're going to react to it in your own way. And just like all the ladies I've talked to about their experiences and all of my experiences, they might not be the same. This is what most women tell me. Most women say that early labor feels like period cramping. The cramps are short and don't last very long. It gets more intense as time goes on, to the point where it feels like really bad diarrhea cramps. And at the end, right before pushing, it's all-encompassing. That doesn't mean that you're writhing in pain. That would be counterproductive to what you're going through. And by that point in labor, most women have learned to surrender to it. It means that it takes every bit of your attention. If the sensations were the volume dial on a radio, the sound would be all the way up. I broke my wrist once, and that pain was much worse for me than labor. I've had surgery twice. Both times, it was much worse than labor. I was in a car accident and damaged both of my knees, broke my tailbone, screwed up a couple vertebrae in my back, and did something to the ligaments in my shoulder. The pain I felt with those injuries, and sometimes still feel, I don't think that's as strong as labor. But because it doesn't come and go, it's constant, and I don't know if it will ever end, it seems much worse. Yet, I recognize that labor probably actually hurt worse than some of those injuries. It all depends on your experiences in life, what you felt, how you handle those things. It's completely unique to you. And then there's the pushing out the baby. A lot of women say that they really like the pushing stage because they're finally able to actually do something. The surrender part is done. You aren't surrendering anymore. You're being compelled to eject this child from your body. While it's hard work, I wouldn't call that pain, though, because pain is a passive thing to me. You just take it. Pushing is like shoveling gravel. It's hard. It feels impossible. But you do it anyway. The next part is that as the baby's head is coming through your vagina, there is a burning as your skin stretches. It doesn't last very long at all, but it's pretty intense. It's on your bottom, so that might feel more intense to you. Now, all of that to say, if you don't ordinarily have period cramps, the contractions of early labor might seem really terrible to you. Or if you usually have really bad menstrual cramps, it might seem really mild. And if you have had a sexual assault or other abuse in your life, it may seem fraught with all kinds of negative emotions and connotations. That might be really disturbing and make it seem much more painful. Overall, I've had 3 babies. I haven't been medicated in any way, shape, or form with any of them, and I didn't think it was that bad. Plus, you get a baby. Many of you know about my side gigs.
I want to take a moment to talk about one of them, a little series of easy reader books I write that I'm super proud of. It's called Kids on C Street, and it's all about some children who lived on one street in one small town in the 1960s. Hashtag Boulder City, Nevada. Every book includes a list of all the words in the story and has been rated to reading level, which is usually first to third grade. I write the books for my great-grandchildren, but your kids can read them too, and I hope you'll enjoy a little wholesome trip down memory lane. You can find them on Amazon or Barnes & Noble. Search for Kids on C Street by Lindy Casey.
A few people asked, "Do you hate doctors?" This question goes along with another one I received. "Do you hate midwives now?" I don't actually hate doctors or midwives, but I recognize that they're people and people are fallible. I think in our society we've taken the role of doctors and sort of idolized them and put them on pedestals. We don't question what they say or do. What happens when someone is idolized is that they start believing their own press. They start thinking that they're just pretty awesome and that they can do no wrong. Now that's not to say there aren't some humble doctors around or some who are willing to let their patients lead them in their care, but overall the doctors I've known, I've talked with, and the stories I've been told lead me to believe that many doctors pretty much think you shouldn't question them. Just do what they tell you to do. They can get pretty disgusted and angry if you question what they're telling you or confront them with some inconsistency in what they're saying. Because of that, I think that one way that I want to combat this is to expose that behavior. Doctors are people. They are not gods. They aren't somebody that we should worship. We need to look at their behavior in the context of them being people. As people, as all people are, we say stupid things sometimes. We make mistakes. We get things wrong. We might be arrogant. We might be humble. We're lots of different things. So putting that all in context with the way doctors behave and exposing their behavior, the only way you can do that is by saying, look, doctors do stupid stuff too. Doctors make mistakes and they're jerks sometimes. When you put that out there and that's released into the world, your average person hears that a doctor might say these horrible things to women or do some things that lead to loss of life or serious illness. Then they can say, oh, I'm not just going to be a blind recipient of what they want to dish out to me. I'm going to be a consumer. If you were buying a used car, you wouldn't take it for granted that everything the salesman told you was true. You'd look into it and you'd double check that those things were true. So that's the whole thing with the crazy stuff doctors say. Well, they do say some crazy stuff, but my clients have also said crazy things, and I've said some crazy things. So that is why, and it has nothing to do with hating doctors, it's about exposing hypocrisy and exposing that we're all just people. Just because this person went to school more than you doesn't mean they have a right to tie you down or threaten you because they don't like the way you talked. As to the other question about how I feel about midwives, that's complicated. In the beginning of my career, I really believed in the sisterhood of midwives and that we all should stick together and support one another, and we would each have each other's backs. But that was just what people said, and it was only me actually doing that. Other women, other midwives, weren't doing that. In fact, they were doing everything they could to undermine all the other midwives, including me. They lied. I knew of midwives who stole from their clients. All of those things are real things that happened. So I don't hate midwives, but I think the same trouble patients have with their doctors, clients have with their midwives. It seems like clients sort of worship their midwives and put them on a pedestal. In reality, midwives don't deserve that, just like doctors don't deserve that. And my effort in telling some of the truths about the practice of midwifery and midwives is to also open people's eyes to the fact that a lot of what midwives say is not true. Their education and training can be vastly different and is not necessarily good. Their experience might not actually be what they say it is, because one lady had a great birth and everything turned out well, has less to say about the skills of her midwife and more to do with the fact that birth really usually just turns out fine. The other side of that is that being a midwife is really being abused by your clients and doctors and society. It's not a fun position to be in when you go into a hospital, a place where you're supposed to be able to go to have your client be helped, and the doctors heap abuse upon your head. You're called names and your abilities are insulted. That's not a fun way to have your workday go. And if you call another midwife to help you and she sounds so nice and supportive on the phone, and later you find out that she repeated what you said with a little twist to make you sound really incompetent or stupid, that's not nice either. Or when you go to the medical supply store and the salesman there gives you crap about just filling your oxygen tank? Oy! Midwives are mistreated in all those ways and more. The other way that we can be mistreated is by our clients. I could do an entire episode, and perhaps I will, on the ways I and some of the midwives I know have been mistreated by our clients. I don't hate midwives. I think that being a midwife is less about what you do and more about your personality, who you are. And I think that the things that are wrong or that I find fault with midwives have more to do with the way women interact with other women than it does about anything else. And in some ways, society at large has decided that midwives are kind of taboo. We do the stuff that seems sort of gross. And because of that, we're the outcasts of medicine. The only midwives who aren't outcasts are the ones who are part of the medical machine, and those are certified nurse midwives. And yet, from what I understand from talking to my friends who are CNMs, they're mistreated by the people over them, which would be doctors and hospital administration. A question I've been asked several times is if I'm taking clients, and the answer is no, because I'm retired. I'm no longer taking clients. I'm no longer attending births. I'm done. I think that 40 years was long enough. Somebody else asked, or they didn't ask, but they commented, I'm terrified of giving birth. I think that whenever we approach something that's unknown, it can be scary. Some people have more of a fear factor with that than others. I don't like the unknown. I like to know what's going to happen. Unfortunately, birth is the great unknown. You don't know what your labor is going to be like. You don't know what your pushing stage is going to be like. You don't know what your recovery is going to be like. And you don't know what kind of baby you're going to get. Even if you know it's a boy or a girl, you don't know what their temperament and their personality are. So all of those things together are a lot of unknowns, and that can lead to fear. One way of combating that is to educate yourself about the logistics of birth. To understand what the stages are, what's actually happening inside your body, what those sensations are actually doing in your body, and maybe that will take away some of your fear. This wasn't a question, it was a comment on one of my videos. I posted a short video on TikTok where I warned people about my podcast episode called Dead Babies. I said it might be triggering for people who are pregnant or had pregnancy losses. I didn't want anyone to be blindsided and be triggered. Somebody commented, "Why did you call it that?" They really took exception to the fact that I called it dead babies. They said I should call it stillbirth or fetal demise or whatever. Okay, so the women I've taken care of, as well as my family members, all who went past 20 weeks of pregnancy and had a fetal demise, if you ask them what happened, they would say their baby died. And because I trust women and I want to honor their feelings at every turn, I've got to call it like it is. Their babies died. And if that offends you, that I'm calling them babies and calling them dead, too bad. This is about those women. This isn't about you. Those women called their fetuses babies. And so that's what I'm going to call them. And they died. And with that, I'm out of here. If you have questions or comments, you can text me from your phone or message me on TikTok or Instagram. Thanks for coming along.
That's all for this episode. Thanks for listening. I appreciate every one of you. And remember, if you want to support what I do, then share, subscribe, and leave a review wherever you get your podcasts. If you have anything you'd like to add to this subject, you can be part of the conversation. Go to anchor.fm/midwife-talks and click on the message button. That's anchor.fm/midwife-talks. I'll see you in the next episode of Midwife Talks. Links to more information about the topics covered in this show can be found under the podcast tab.